when you are all alone. Maybe the one who is waiting for you will prove untrue. Then what will you do? Maybe you'll sit and sigh, wishing that I were near. Then maybe you'll ask me to come back again, and maybe I'll say maybe. Maybe you beg of me when you are all alone. Maybe the one who is waiting for you will prove untrue. Then what will I do? Maybe you'll sit and sigh, wishing that I were near. Then maybe you'll ask me to come back again.
No doubt about it. We're back again. No maybe about it, folks. This is WHFR Dearborn from Henry Ford Community College. For the next hour, our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Hello and welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal, local news and alternative views. And when we say local, we mean local. That's right. We mean Dearborn and the surrounding areas. There's no more local radio news and information show on the air, and that's why we do it. And why do we call it the new WHFR Journal? Because it's not the same as last time. There's always something different, and the same as last time, though, are my two colleagues from the WHFR news team, our news director, Dennis Reimars, and Amy Powers, our WHFR reporter extraordinaire. How are you folks doing today?
I'm just fine. How are you?
Well, I just am trying to not think about the fact that I just snow shoveled about 9,000 square feet of highway, part of it, thanks to the city of Dearborn, shoveling a nice big snow pile at the end of my drive. I wouldn't have needed to shovel if it wasn't for the city of Dearborn trying to clear the roads, which, you know, what was it? 4 inches of snow? All right, maybe 6 inches. But, you know, I have a little personal difference of opinion with the city of Dearborn when they shovel with so little snow. And then, for some people, okay, I've got four-wheel drive on my car, but for some people, that extra little hump at the end that the city city creates is enough to either throw their car out of control or keep them from even getting out of their driveway. So I think we're talking about trying to save money on city services, and I know everybody wants, you know, every little flake of snow removed. I mean, that's the public opinion. Your city at work, and you might not get reelected if you don't take every snowflake, but it's just not rational to have all the trucks out and all those people, although we're creating jobs, I know, in so little snow. So anyway, I'm fine.
I'm very
pumped up. The adrenaline is flowing, and I just hope my heart holds out for the rest of the show. But you guys look fine. You did. We were here last week with our New Year's resolutions, and I hope they've all been accomplished so far.
That's right. I'm finished.
Yeah, so we can forget about it.
Sorry,
right.
Forget about it.
We didn't have
get on with the rest of our lives.
I thought we agreed we weren't going to do any.
Yeah, no,
was I supposed
that.
To?
No, we were doing some general concepts like getting involved and reading books and good stuff like that. Listening to the show more. No, and even mentioned Craig Folly's show on WDET, which I thought was very magnanimous of me. But he's not a competitor anymore.
You say so yourself.
He's on in the mornings, live from 10 to noon on WDET 101.9. And also he and the whole news team down there, which is Quinn Kleinfelter and Rob St. James and others. They do an excellent job, by the way, with Detroit area and Michigan area stories. That is repeated, by the way. His show is repeated. And I don't know if it's still podcast because he hasn't been mentioning that. Although this show, our show, is podcast. But his show is repeated every evening, every weekday evening. The same show they do in the morning, they do at night. So anyway, keep listening, keep reading, folks, if you want to find out about the news. But what do we think was important from the last week? Combined sewer overflow project may extend to 2018, according to the Dearborn Press and Guide, Sunday, January 3rd. We've been saying we knew that they were having trouble. They've only got five retention basins in place. Originally, I think they needed 13. And now, and I think I mentioned this before, but they plan to incorporate two different methods of handling the city's sewage. And so it's going to be called a hybrid system. Isn't that cute how you choose words? It's just because hybrid, ooh, that's a buzzword. That's a better car. It's more fuel economy. And maybe it'll be better in the long run, but it's still going to cost a small fortune. And we've already mentioned in the past, of course, the CSO project, as it's called, an abbreviation, which is, again, mandated by the federal government because we're contaminating our own water supply, folks. Every time it rains too hard here in Dearborn, and it took the federal government to tell us to do something about it. Now, that's not right, is it? Can't we figure that out locally? But, trying to get $200 to $400 or maybe $700 million together, if nobody's telling you and nobody's dying, directly from taking a drink of water, it's not something that the political process is willing to do. So I say thank you for the federal government, even though I'm definitely an independent, and I'm very libertarian, very conservative on other issues, but there's some things the federal government can get right. And I think setting wise standards for the whole country is one of the things that could get right. It might take them a few years to figure out what those standards should be, but nonetheless, it's a lot better than this patchwork stuff from state to state and county to county. So it looks like, according to page 2A from last Sunday's Press and Guide, as I said, that they're going to go in this order because they had trouble with the other technology, and they don't indicate here, any additional cost. Although the new sewer separation process, which is the second technology, rather than just digging these deep basins directly in the ground, the neighborhood will receive new and upgraded water mains, as well as new concrete pavement. Hey, we love that concrete pavement, don't we? I hate to drive on mud, or gravel or asphalt.
So are they saying that they're abandoning the original project, the original plans, and going with his second route, and this is now? No.
No, he's shaking his head. It's not television, so I should talk about this. No, they're saying that they'll keep the basins that are working.
Okay.
That they were successfully able to complete, five of them right now.
Five, okay.
And eight were begun, two were completed, three are stalled due to engineering or construction problems, and three are still under construction and may succeed. So that's five that they may get, unless three of these five, the three that are under under construction now have also some sort of little problem with themselves. But they had to come up with another answer, and this is bound to cost them a lot of money, but it's true. I mean, a side benefit is that they've needed new and upgraded water mains anyway in an old community like Dearborn. And so this is not a bad thing. It's just going to add more money and more time to, and we pay the cost, folks, right here in Dearborn.
That was already planned, if I'm not mistaken, because they've done that throughout the rest of Dearborn.
Well, I think they started about 6 months ago on the hybrid idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the water main, that was already planned. Because they'd been doing that throughout the entire city.
They had been doing some of that, to my knowledge. Yeah, I know.
In my front streets.
Of where my daughter lived over by Oakwood, they had done that right on the corner by her. They had to replace the water main.
That's where I'm at, exactly.
Yeah. So, but I think they did it because of crisis, because something was exploding or leaking.
They systematically did every single street in my neighborhood.
Okay. So, well, they haven't done that in all of Dearborn, I know.
Something regarding the CSO that's immediate, and this was what I thought was kind of interesting, is that Cherry Hill Road. This is breaking news on the Press and Guide website. I looked at it at one point, and then a few minutes later it was on.
Yeah.
So Cherry Hill Road and portions of Ford Field are going to be closed for this CSO work. And they had said it's Cherry Hill between Brady and Military. And they're going to be closed to through traffic beginning Monday, just this coming Monday, January 11th. And they expect that to remain closed to through traffic all the way until late July.
Whoa.
That's kind of a big deal. And that's
all of a sudden, yeah.
You know, and Ford Field's there, and specifically, and this was something my kids asked, what about sledding? Well, for a week, we will lose approximately a week near the end of January, they're going to lose some of the sledding hills.
Oh, okay. Because you don't want to slide down in a big hole in the ground.
Well, yeah, you don't want to.
Yeah. This show is done live, by the way, folks, originally, at least we like to think it is. And this particular show, it's January 8th, 2010. And just to show you how well electronically connected we are, we don't just have these old-time newspapers. I've got a computer screen in front of me, and Dennis and Amy are always on the internet surfing, even against the waves sometimes, on a station making waves. What a way to get the slogan in. Well, we've already mentioned the noise, which may be abating in the Military Michigan area, and the smell, but that was because it didn't take away enough of the rock quick enough and from down deep where the hydrogen sulfide gases were coming off. So, but now we have a new challenge. Hey, every week we have a new challenge from the CSO, and nobody wants to take responsibility for this, but it's quite a mess, and we got into this because of new technology. I know we got into it because the federal government forced it on us, oh my gosh, and forced us to pay for it locally, but it's good for us and the rest of the area, too, to have clean water, don't you think? And, and we could have done it cheaper, folks. Again, this is 15-year-old engineering opinions that I got, could have been done cheaper. Oh, well. Moving on with our stories here in the new WHFR Journal, station making waves. Dearborn City, did I mention my name is Jay Kornick? Did I mention
no,
that?
No, I don't think you have mentioned
if somebody
that.
Wants to blame someone for the words I speak, even
Jay
though
Kornick.
The... Jay Kornick. K-O-R-I-N-E-K, WHFR at hfcc.edu. Remember that and use it if you need to. But... The point I'm trying to make is that our ideas are not necessarily those of anyone else here at Henry Ford Community College. They didn't tell us to say this stuff, folks, so don't blame them. We're just trying to do our job as semi-responsible, if not always totally responsible, news people. But things do slip between the cracks, and if you do have any vital information to fill in a story or want to make a correction, you can do that through our website. Just address a general email to the station and mention journal and the date of the show. It is WHFR at hfcc.edu. Pretty easy to remember the email. That's the email address. I see the City Council, Dearborn City Council, has changed its meeting dates. They got, it said the new council is, inaugurated, and it was December 30th, but... there was only one person who was new, so it's kind of a stretch. It was Brian C. O'Donnell was the new member to join, and Doug Thomas is out.
Right.
I had to make room.
Also, the mayor, this is his first full term because he took over for...
Yeah, he was elected, but he was elected to fill that final term, even though he was acting mayor before that, blah, blah, blah. So it's the first official time. But, and we should, talk again to Brian C. O'Donnell. Obviously, he got the WHFR bump. Oh. That must have helped him tremendously. Epic. Yeah, the bump didn't help the other, seven challengers. But nonetheless, he was here, and I can say now I think we liked him. We thought he had some new ideas, and I think he was the only candidate promising to give back 25% of his pay, too. Wasn't he the one?
He was.
Yeah, so we'll have to see if he can... survive without that, and if he's going to, I'm sure he has to follow through with that campaign promise, though.
If he said it here, sure.
But it wasn't mentioned in the story, is that he's already written the first rebate check back to the city. And I wonder how they're going to do that. Just not send him as much, or he has to make a contribution back? Where's that money going
to
go?
I mean,
cut him the full amount.
Cut him the full amount, and then he has to send
something
back. And
then we'll be right there watching him sign the check back, right?
Absolutely.
He can do that on our show.
Well, I mean, there's some city foundations that would also benefit from his check, like the Dearborn Schools Foundation, Henry Ford Community College Foundation. there's some good public service organizations that are nonprofits, and he could get a tax credit off of it, that he could put that 25% to use other than directly back to the city's coffers, although the city certainly could use the money, even though it's a small amount, since less than $10,000 a year?
No,
less than $13,000 a year?
He will make $14,409 annually. Listen, as well as a per diem of $85 per meeting, up to 90 meetings. That's another $7,000.
Was that him? I thought it was Tofalsky.
They all get the meeting.
Okay, yeah.
Tofalsky makes about $3,000, just under $3,000 more as president.
Right. Because he has to, and it's a tough job being that MC. I mean, he's talking pretty much the whole meeting. He has to summarize everything that's coming up and explain everything initially. And then if you can't, he has to throw it back to somebody else. But, I mean, he's really got to be prepped. The other people can just sort of show up and...
Well, that's not true. Well, no, you're right. But Susan Sereny, if he's not there, she does take his place. So she has to be somewhat prepped.
Oh, I'm not saying these people aren't. I'm just saying he definitely has that major responsibility.
Absolutely.
It's worth the extra $3,000, and $14,000 for a, setting all the rules and laws and directions of the city legally. It's a big responsibility for about $1,200 a month.
Higher than that when you count the meetings in.
It's another $7,600 if you count the meetings.
So you're close to $20,000 there.
One of the first things they already did, though, was change the meeting dates. Which, to me, there was a big controversy last year. They wanted to go a half hour earlier from 7:30 to 7 so that more people who maybe want to go to bed early or that sometimes the meetings would run long. And so they thought that was more convenient. And most people get out of work 5-ish and could make it by 7 anyway. But it was like 3 months we covered this last year. Oh, we're going to move it a half an hour. And now what are they doing? For 2010, the meetings are going to be at least once a month. And before, they were regularly, although not required, twice a month on the first Monday and the third Monday. Well, now they're at least once a month, but it's either going to be a Monday or a Tuesday. Or maybe they're going to change it. I mean, there's no way to predict here. If somebody wanted to attend these meetings on a regular basis, you wouldn't know unless you went to the City of Dearborn website, which is cityofdearborn.org, for a complete schedule. But they change it. And of course, they modify it for holidays and so on. But they've already got the dates here now.
That's funny.
These first two in January were modified for holidays.
Right.
Martin Luther King on Monday the 18th.
Yeah, January, it became Tuesday, January 19th. And that's one reason that Tuesday maybe is better, because everybody knows you go out and party on a legal holiday like Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah. And President's Day, you don't want to have a city council meeting on President's Day.
Those are some of the best
parties.
That would
dishonor, our...
Poor sales.
The memory of our presidents to actually have a city council meeting. I'm joking, folks. My colleagues here in the studio can see my satiric facial expressions, but you can't. So I just want to tell you, I'm joking about that. But I think it is not good for a democratically elected body to have the dates be changing so much. Okay? I just don't think that's good, because you never know when somebody in the community has something to talk about and they have in their head, well, last month it was Monday and Wednesday.
Right.
And all of a sudden now it's Tuesday because they don't have internet or something. They didn't call ahead. I think a democratic elected body, it should have a meeting on a shame day, for gosh sakes. And they got this through each month. They got this through just instantly, and there was like 3 months of trying, oh, should it be 7:30 start or 7 start? I mean, it was a big deal about what time you're going to start the meeting at. And now, you know, after...
Now we don't even know the day.
After they had some socialization. Yeah, now we don't even know what the day is. And that just passed. Well, that just passed.
The day of the next meeting should not be breaking news.
No, it shouldn't be. We shouldn't have to go on the internet to find, oh, there's a meeting tomorrow. Oh, there's a meeting in 5 minutes. It drives reporters crazy, much less the average person who actually might want to go and be at a meeting live. Say, oh, I could watch it later on cable, and maybe you should. Maybe we all should. Pretty boring at times. But being live means that maybe you could make comment if you wanted to, or after the meeting, or even during the meeting. You could talk to some of the people that are involved, who might be in the audience or whatever. You can network, you can form liaisons alliances, political groups that could influence. So there is a purpose to attend meetings live. And if you don't know when that's going to be, or you're fooled by it changing so much, well, that takes that possibility away. And I know elected officials, we don't really want that input from the average person, because what do they know? Pragmatically, that's how they feel. I know that's how they feel. They won't admit it, but that's how they feel. To explain yourself when you've already been working at, maybe for days or weeks or months, a decision, and to have to explain it in 5 minutes to people that don't have that background, it's tough. But I think that's the democratic process, okay? And I think people who are elected officials should be ready to make those explanations and should be very willing, and they should have open meetings. In fact, Mayor Guido, and I don't think Mayor O'Reilly has continued this, although he's seems to be a very accessible guy, and maybe just call his office to have a personal meeting with him. But Guido once a month had an open door policy. It was the same as Hubbard had. And you could just show up during this 2-hour period, and if there weren't too many people, you could get in to see the mayor. And then there was those coffee breakfasts around town that were once a month on a regular day and at different restaurants, and you could go in and talk to the mayor at that restaurant. And he usually would have a few elected officials, and Guido always had his bodyguard with him. But, you could get to him and talk to him in person. Sure, who knows who might show up. But I just think that's part of democracy, and it's an important principle. So I didn't like that. I'm sorry, City Council. The fact that, we just passed another city charter, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't require more than one meeting a month. Now, usually they have to do at least 2 a month because there's a lot of stuff to do. But now, and of course, they can change the meeting dates at any time themselves. So, that city charter, shame on it. I don't think that's right. I guess they didn't feel they had to change the charter because they had regular twice-a-month meetings on Monday and Wednesdays, first and third Mondays, with minor exceptions for holidays, major holidays, for so long, they thought, well, it's just going to continue that way. But here, they're going crazy. It's all over the place. So I'm sorry. I'm sure it'll work out, and we'll all have to make sure we have our internet connections and keep track of when and where they're going to be. And at least they aren't switching locations. That would make it even more risky. It's not in City Hall today.
It's like gonna the be shell a, game.
Where are going to be at Buddy's Pizza,
Or are they?
Yeah, okay. Well, moving along, I'm sorry I took too long on that, but important stuff. There's a comment in the same paper, and maybe we won't cover it too long, but apparently there's another free opinion column that the Press and Guide is able to access. Yeah, they're free, folks. Why? Because the people are advertising themselves. That's right. If you love their opinions, maybe you'll hire them for your business or something. This is Tom Watkins' situation, formerly head of public instruction in Michigan, and we feature his articles because they are thought challenging and thought challenged, too, at the same point. But this is a William Cole, C-O-A-L-E, Ph.D. He's a FID. Yeah. Doctor in something, retired Michigan teacher, principal, technology director, and superintendent. So he's retired from all those things. But he apparently has an organization called the Cole Group. Oh, my goodness. He is an advisor. He's a consultant. And it's good that he's still employed and we're using his intelligence. But it's the first time we've read his opinions here. And he's talking about how, the dropout rate is 18. That's Michigan's mandatory compulsory education date. To 18. You need to get your full dose of education in order to have a chance at success in meeting the demands of the 21st century workforce. But he feels it's not going to work out. And why? Well, think about this. First of all, you can get a parent's signature on a permission slip to drop out early. Now, there are some hardship situations where maybe the kid has to go to work.
That's it's rare, but I think if a parent's involved enough to be writing a permission slip for the child to leave school early, it's, you know, a highly unusual situation.
Yeah, of course, if nothing's being taught, this is the other issue that he doesn't directly counter with there, but that he does at the end. Are we providing an education that's meaningful to all students? When I went to school, okay, in the dark ages, my mother would often say, oh, you seem a little sick today, or you didn't get a lot of sleep last night. Why don't you just stay home? And I'd say, no, Mom, there's exciting stuff happening. We're learning new things every day. I mean,
how
I was...
How old were you?
Yeah, I know. I was sick all the way through high school. This is true.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I love school, even though some of my teachers weren't the sharpest, but I was there guiding them, you know, on.
Oh.
I sat on the front row.
I'm sure they appreciated that.
I would correct them when they erred, you know.
Often.
And, yeah. Well, some of them quite
constantly.
Often. Then some of them were so frustrated that they walked out and they said, well, you take over the class. Well, I did.
Perfect.
Yeah, I did. I mean, math, science, English, it's, you know, I'm multi-talented.
Mission accomplished.
And he's still teaching.
And, yeah, and well, it seemed logical since they didn't want to do it. Somebody had to. But no, really, there's so much exciting to learn, stuff to learn, folks, whether you're in school or not. And to have some people who are going to high school, nothing's happening today. I don't like what they're doing. I don't understand it.
That's a mindset, though, and I think so many people are tuned into the path of least resistance. Mm-hmm. And learning, I mean, let's face it, as exciting as it is, there's some work involved.
Oh, yeah.
It's not passive.
But also, if you don't have the basics covered and you're in high school and you're struggling reading or it's difficult to get to school or you're hungry or, you know, any number
insert,
of things
yeah,
that
exactly.
aren't... based on, you know, I've got a stomach ache and don't want to go to school today. High school is far more challenging than just getting grades. It's social and it's, you know, a variety of issues that aren't.
Tremendous amount of pressure, and especially at that age with everything going on physically and everything. Absolutely, you're right.
What do you folks think about the high school attendance policy? In Wednesday's paper, the Press and Guide, they talked about they formalized a high school attendance policy in Dearborn now. And if you miss 10 times, if you miss 10 class periods, and of course there's 5 periods a week, I assume, although maybe some classes are only 3 times. I mean, I don't know if they rotate like we do in college, or is every class every day of the week?
Every class every day, and it's 6 hours.
Pretty much. And there's six class periods a day.
Yeah, you know, some kids will go to the Barry Center. Some people are doing different things, but yeah, for the most part.
Okay. Well, if they miss 10 times out of a semester, they don't pass the class.
And there's an exception to that as well. What's the other exception?
If you're really sick.
If you're really sick.
No, well, the big exception is at the end of the semester, if you take like the final comprehensive test and you get 78%.
Yes.
That's it.
Then they'll forgive you.
Oh.
Now, what is 78%? C+?
Yeah.
That's sick.
Well, I don't even know. I've never...
You know, I mean, well, 70% is normally thought of as pass-fail for the whole class here in college. I mean, it's traditional, although it varies. What is the C or the D?
Amy and I thought the lowest you could get was, what, 92?
That's, I know.
So
I don't like to talk about 92.
Like foreign language to us.
Yeah, and I know it hurts to say, well, I only got a C if you're smarter than that, certainly. But it seems to me that that's, first of all, I did check with my daughter in Southfield Public Schools. They've had that policy for a long time.
Didn't this surprise you a little?
Yeah.
That it wasn't in effect and that it wasn't consistent throughout the whole system.
As stated in the article, it's not consistent. As stated in the article, too, at any point in time right now, apparently attendance is a big, big problem in the city of Dearborn and in its schools. 15% of the kids aren't there on any day. That's on average.
That's amazing.
15% aren't there. Now, there's also a way that they handle tardiness, too. That I think 2 tardinesses equal 1 of the big discredits.
Absences.
4?
4 tardies also equal an absence.
Yeah. I know tardy means there must have been something happening. You had an intention of getting there, and maybe it was car trouble or bus trouble.
Trouble in the hallways, getting your locker open.
Well,
we're talking 15 minutes late because considering an absence, tardy is from 5 to 15 minutes.
Right.
That's not a lot of late. Okay. I mean, I'm not.
So if you're working with all these figures.
Well, that's what I use in college. Yeah. In my classes, tardiness is. Actually, if they're tardy, because I give a lot of like update information at the beginning. I know I should wait to the end, I guess. But, you know, of what's coming up next week? Are we going to have a test next period? What's going to happen? And so if they miss the first 10 minutes, 15 minutes, that's sort of the, you know, let's get into it. Let's get organized. They're really kind of lost if they so. Of course, college we are much more strict for a variety of reasons, and so I'll mark them down for the whole period. Although we don't, it does affect the grade of some college teachers that they take points off from the academic credit.
I'm gonna look you up on Rate My Professor.
Yeah, well, I
little comments.
Most people will say I was tough.
Yeah,
tough.
He
expected us to do work. Well, I think fair, yeah. I mean, everybody was treated the same, badly. No, everybody was treated strictly, badly, strictly, and it sort of worked out. So I think it was like overdue, so good for you, Dearborn Public Schools, of at least setting a policy so people know
exactly
what they're getting into, and even students going from one teacher to the other, if it varies that much, or from one building to the other. It's pretty pretty good. We have that as a standard now, and I think it's pretty fair. If you miss let's see, if there's 15 weeks,
it's more than fair.
If you miss, I mean, 15 weeks, that 5 times a week is 75, and so you miss 10, you missed an eighth of the semester.
Plus,
so
you're allowed for, you know, sickness.
Well,
this is
what
within
are those suspension
and school-related
activities.
Like if you're in a sporting event or choir, it's or whatever.
Very generous.
I don't know about passing one test though with 78% or better as an option.
You know, it's a good first start. Let's see how it works, because this is their way of.
If we have a bunch of geniuses transferring to the district, or maybe they're already here,
right, that don't need to be.
They
here
don't yet even need to go to class. Right. You know, talk about advanced placement.
In your room.
And I don't think we want to do advanced placement based on one test. I think I want more info. In fact, Henry Ford Community College, although we have various kinds, not officially advanced placement, but we have various kinds of ways to place out of prerequisite classes. I know that. But credit for experience is usually not one of them.
Right.
It's too hard to quantify. And one test alone for years, I know it was debated in the English department, one test alone we don't think is enough to show the full range of English ability in writing and speaking. Just one test one day, a lot of people would agree, say, hey, that was a bad day for me taking tests, you know.
Right.
So I think it has to be a little more comprehensive before you allow tests to be the credit for a course. But, well, we'll see how that goes.
So, again, it's their first effort. So, like you said, we'll applaud them for at least trying.
We're going to take a little break halfway through the new WHFR Journal, local news and views for Dearborn and the surrounding area from the station Making Waves. I'm going to listen to an opinion, first of all, from Jim Hightower. He has come down from his Hightower. Oh, bad joke. And he has a very specific comment about, and this used to be a big issue a while back, about getting rid of bottles as ways to, you know, transport beverages in our society. So a very pragmatic opinion this time from Jim Hightower, and some important non-commercial messages, and we'll be back with more of the new WHFR Journal.
Bottled pollution. I know we're a nation of inveterate consumers, but who would buy pollution in a bottle? Well, millions of Americans do, to the tune of $11 billion worth a year. That's the size of the bottled water industry in our country, dominated by such giants as Nestle and Coca-Cola. But wait, shriek industry PR flax, our product is pure goodness, not pollution. What are you talking about? Start with a little reported fact that bottled water can contain a toxic mix of industrial chemicals never tested for safety. Also, many tests of bottled water are done by the corporations themselves, rather than by independent certified labs. And even when contaminants are found, the marketers do not have to tell consumers or public officials about them. Chances are that your city's tap water, which is inspected several times daily, is at least as pure and often more so than the pricey stuff in bottles. Speaking of bottles, both the production and disposal of billions of tons of these throwaways is a pollution nightmare. The Environmental Working Group, for example, has revealed an area of the Pacific Ocean that amounts to a massive plastic water bottle dump that is twice the size of Texas. You can't throw water bottles away because there is no away. Then there's the absurdly huge carbon footprint created by hauling bottled water back and forth across our country, or even across oceans, bringing water all the way from France or Fiji. If you need a textbook example of energy absurdity, try this. New York water is trucked to California, and California water is trucked to New York. This is Jim Hightower saying, the good news is us, consumers. Individuals, companies, restaurants, cities, states, and other entities are chucking the bottle, ending their silly addiction to a totally unnecessary source of pollution and waste. To join the effort, go to takebackthetap.org.
Today's commentary is underwritten by Wiley & Sons, publisher of Hightower's new book titled Swim Against the Current, Even a Dead Fish Can Go with the Flow, now available wherever books are sold.
Half of young Americans can't locate economic powers like Japan and India. 20% can't even find the Pacific Ocean. Without geography, our children aren't ready for the world. Geography is everywhere. It's incredible creatures. Rhythm. Fashion. Flavor. It's economics. And politics. It's change. Understanding connections between people and places is critical in the 21st century. That's why we created MyWonderfulWorld.org to give our kids the power of global knowledge. Go to MyWonderfulWorld.org for your free parent and teacher action kits. Because kids who understand our world today can succeed in it tomorrow.
Hi, this is Peter Sagal, host of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. What do you get when you take a bunch of public radio nerds and shut them in a room with computer geeks? Well, in addition to some bizarrely socially awkward offspring, you get the Public Radio Player. It's a new iPhone app that streams hundreds of public radio stations, including this one, straight to your iPhone and iPod Touch. You can get more information at publicradioplayer.org.
Community College is holding a
Super Saturday
on January 9th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. During
Super Saturday,
you can get admitted to HFCC, register for classes, purchase required textbooks, and more all in one day. For more information about
Super Saturday,
call 1-800-585-HFCC or visit hfcc.edu so you don't miss
Super Saturday!
January 9th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Henry Ford Community College.
We're back with more of the new WHFR Journal, local news and alternative views. Jay Koronek with you, along with Dennis and Amy here in the WHFR studios at Henry Ford Community College campus. Very exciting on campus because, oh boy, well, there's some big event we have every year, and there's a bunch of high school students here. I think it's like business-related
students. It is. It's an entrepreneur, a young entrepreneur type thing.
Yeah, and they're all dressed up like they've never been in their lives before, I think. But and it's a lot of fun. But Monday starts our classes. And so Super Saturday is tomorrow. And as Dennis was the voice for that.
I'm surprised you know, you recognize my voice?
You told us about three times beforehand.
Yeah. You have to admit that was one of the better commercials you've heard. Or, excuse me, promotion. No.
Well, like, it was lovely.
Moving on,
it
folks.
It was super.
Yeah. One time, in case you never listen to pre-recorded spots and you only listen to real people talking at you, tomorrow morning, if you're not even admitted to Henry Ford Community College for the winter semester, you can come here. You can be admitted. You can pick your classes that are remaining from those that are remaining and even handle financial aid applications. So counselors are on duty to scoot you right through. They tell me hour and a half from the time you arrive, but it's only from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. tomorrow on campus in the counseling department at Henry Ford Community College main campus. And they call it Super Saturday, but it's the last chance to quickly get admitted as well as enrolled. Now, if you're already enrolled, if you've ever been here and like in the last 10 years, you're in the system, as they say, you can just immediately go to your computer or even to a telephone if you know the right phone numbers, if you've got a class schedule in front of you or something, and either the audio system, I was going to say audio teller, but whatever they call it, the
automated
registration system through the telephone, or right online, you can get those classes and jump right in on your own. But as I said, for those that aren't even admitted yet and say, yeah, let's do it, then you could come by tomorrow morning from 9 a.m. to 1. I think today they're probably still open to 4 or 4:30 over there in the admissions and registration area, but it is a Friday. So maybe it's a Friday before Super Saturday and the Friday before a semester starts on Monday that maybe they're open till 6, so you better call ahead or something to HFCC. The general number? 585-4323. That's 800-585-4323. Henry Ford Community College toll-free number, 800-585-4323. And just listen to the menu and choose admissions if you've never been here before, or the registrar's office if you want to enroll in classes and need some more information. All right.
And it's comprehensive online.
Mm-hmm. It is very. Mm-hmm. So we have a very good website, and people can figure that out for themselves. We wanted to give some background. Last time we talked about Race to the Top. We did mention here, one of the first stations in town, to mention that it has been signed into law. And in the Dearborn Press and Guide of just 2 days ago, the Around the Capitol sort of summary of a couple of things, bills passed in Lansing that's done by Lena Kazuz, K-H-Z-O-U-Z, and Tim Powers together. They gave some details of a couple things, but especially the education reforms that the state of Michigan and all the local school districts had to agree to. Now, the application to the federal government to get $400 million just right here in Michigan, it's competitive. And that application is not due until January 19th. So somebody is piling up the hours in Lansing, writing out the application, because I understand it is hundreds of pages long, hundreds of pages of information. But the reforms have been passed. But you can't just say, well, we passed the reforms, give us the money. Maybe there's various needy kind of situations that they want to have documented, like like Detroit, as we mentioned last time, being the worst high school system in the United States, according to the math test. Okay, I mean, maybe they're doing something really good. I don't know what that is, but according to the generalized test, they're not doing the best. So that means, well, they need help. And maybe the money, if spent wisely, could actually help. Certainly, the state of Michigan has no money to give even for basic needs, it seems these days, for our schools. And so this would help us out of a difficult economic situation, too. And I don't know if the fact that, we're not bankrupt in Michigan. Not yet. California is, which means they can't fund their schools either. In fact, is there more than one state bankrupt? Anybody know here? I'm not sure. I haven't heard about that. More may go bankrupt, like Michigan maybe in a couple of years, but it's interesting that we're not bankrupt. So for the Race to the Top money, I bet California's applying.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got the most populous state. So I bet they're going to
But how are their test scores? I mean, maybe
right.
they're,
yeah.
you know.
Maybe they're doing okay anyway, even without the extra
money.
Money.
Yeah, they're using their money.
So it's a lot wisely. It's a complicated thing. Here are the details. Okay. Allow the state to intervene in the lowest performing schools.
That makes sense.
I thought we had that. Oh, it's only if they're bankrupt. That's right. It's only if they're not if they're just low performing. Well, that finalizes it anyway. I mean, that it is in place now, folks.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of interesting that even if we don't get the money, these reforms are in place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Good point.
Yeah, these are legally in place.
Oh, we didn't get the money, we take all that back.
No.
You can't do that. No,
well, yeah,
that's a really good point.
No, the legislature can't undo any bill that they pass. That's bad, but they can do that. Number two, permit new high-quality charter schools to open if they meet certain standards. New high-quality. Isn't that the only kind we want? And then
it's not the only kind you get, though.
And permit the closure of low-performing schools. What do you mean, permit? Get them the heck out of there. If they can come in and intervene in lowest-performing schools, I hope that means charter schools, too. In some cases, close them down.
It does. It said permit the closure of low-performing charter schools. Exactly.
Yeah, but permit. Permit, doesn't that mean the state would necessarily force them?
Oh, you're saying you want it mandated. Look, you're not performing. Here's the standard. Boom.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense. You're right.
I mean, permit leaves some question in my mind. Does it permit the state to close them down? Or does it just mean, well, if you want to close, since you're doing so badly, it's okay with us. We'll take the charter back. Or,
right.
I mean, I don't...
Right, that's vague.
That's not really clear to me, and that's our legislators' language. Require administrators to be certified. That's a cool thing, but I was thinking about it, because administrator, they don't have to be certified, although many administrators are former teachers. So they have teacher certification. Right. What kind of certification are they asking for there? Teacher certification?
I think that's cool.
That means that they at least are knowledgeable about one of the subjects that their school is teaching, although not a majority, obviously. So that's kind of weird, too. But really raises an interesting general question. How would you certify an administrator to be a good K-12 administrator? I mean, certain classes, is it more than just teacher certification? I mean, what does it take to be a good administrator? Most teachers would say, no skills whatsoever.
Here's one I thought was in place. Are you going to go on to the evaluation?
Yeah, go. Yes.
Requiring an annual evaluation of teachers and administrators using data on student growth. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that just seem like such a no-brainer?
Oh.
No?
That's the biggest fight for teachers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tied to the academic success?
Student growth. I assume they don't mean inches.
No. Oh, okay. No, absolutely not.
Although in Michigan, you know, it could be horizontal in inches, girth, yeah. Because we're the number one state in overweight kids, and people in general. It's strange.
Bad greens versus fresh greens.
Yeah, if you're starving, how can you, well, if you eat too starchy a diet, you know, all that white bread and stuff, that'll put on pounds even though you're not healthy. But data on student growth is really controversial. How do you measure that growth? I mean, my daughter, who's been teaching now 8th grade middle school for about 12 years in Southfield, not in Dearborn, but she says the kids are getting dumber and dumber. Mm-hmm. Now, every teacher will say that if they've been teaching for a couple decades. It seems that the kids coming in are dumber. But I think that's just either battle fatigue or it's true. But the point is the growth. If they have good entry-level testing, mm-hmm. no matter how dumb they are, I assume they can at least take a test and show, you know, what they know. And if they've moved them along, then that's good. Of course, how much should they be moved along at a certain level? It's still rumored that if you show up, there's that attendance thing,
right.
You're going to pass somehow. In Detroit, anyway.
Right.
And if it seems like you're dumbing down the standards if you merely show a little bit of growth from the dumbness that you had when they came in. I mean, what should be the knowledge level at each grade level? I think it's like college. If you don't get the knowledge that's part of the class expectations, you shouldn't pass. You shouldn't get credit. And that means kids might be in high school or middle school or elementary taking classes either after school or on weekends or in the summer. What else the school's doing during the summer? Nothing.
So are you saying they need more clarification? Is this based
absolutely.
On nationalized test scores or,
And the original bill may have that. This is probably just the heading of a very long passage.
Exactly.
I mean, I understand this bill was, again, hundreds of pages. In Lansing. So we don't know. I'm sure they had to define that. But interesting question for the rest of us and hotly debated by administrators who are now under evaluation as well as teachers. It's kind of cool. You can fire the administrators as well as fire the teachers if needed. Create alternative routes to teacher certification to bring the best and brightest into our classrooms. I think what that means is maybe, as we said, we don't do at the college, is credit for life experience. In other words, Bill Gates, who didn't finish college, and he is the richest guy in the world.
And he is qualified to teach.
Head of Microsoft.
Right.
He has the knowledge. Now, whether or not he's a good teacher or something else,
right.
But he certainly has the knowledge and experience that a lot of kids would like to hear about. But I don't know, can he talk well to third graders over 15 weeks? You know, can you handle that? I mean, there's a lot of approaches to learning and to helping kids learn at the different age levels and economic cultural backgrounds. I mean, does he know multiple languages, Bill Gates, in Detroit schools, and I know Southfield Public Schools, and maybe even in Dearborn, knowing several languages that are spoken by your student population might actually help you in class.
Mm-hmm.
If someone who's Spanish-speaking, for example, doesn't understand, you can quickly just give them a phrase in Spanish that clears it up for them. You know, not teaching in Spanish, but I'm just saying
right.
You have the way to touch base. In Dearborn, obviously, Arabic would be a valuable second language for most of our teachers.
Right.
And Spanish, too, in some cases. So alternative routes to teacher certification doesn't mean they're dumbing it down, and I was afraid of that. But this phrasing, even though it's only the headline, it seems to say that they might be able to bring in people formally from business or industry or whatever who want to teach, who really want to dedicate themselves to learning how to teach. But wow, what they already know and what they've already experienced is extremely valuable. So
that those people would focus less on what they need to teach the student body as opposed to the way they need to teach them.
And one of the things, although young people typically distrust most authority figures, and well, they should, but having authority in a topic, in an area, I mean, having Bill Gates himself, the man who started Microsoft and was so big, I mean, that's got to be important right now. And he certainly is still up to date on all the computer stuff that's happening, all the game stuff and the interactive stuff, even though he's not directly running Microsoft. So Bill, we want you here in Dearborn.
Yeah,
come on by.
I would take a class, like a cooking class, if Bill Gates taught it. Wouldn't that be class. Great?
Return to third grade. And
yeah.
So
with Bill Gates.
That'd be awesome. Are
you kidding me? I summarize that the Race to the Top reforms may be good, and maybe there's some of the reforms that Tom Watkins wanted or some other people. I know Watkins, I actually heard him on Greg Folley's show, speaking as a living human being a couple days ago, and he said he was in favor of the Race to the Top reforms, which means he's in favor of Obama administration and federal government reforms. He said he liked these reforms, and that's what he liked. He didn't go on to say what they were, and Folley kept asking him, well, what about this? And well, I just think reform is good. Jeez, what a soundbiter. You know, didn't want to get in trouble with any details. But see, we did. We got in trouble with details. Oh, my goodness. 10 minutes before the end of the show.
Right.
What else do we want to talk about here, folks? We had something else we were going to say. Oh, very briefly, we can't go into details, but Andy Dillon, who is the rep from Dearborn Heights to our Michigan State Legislature, and he is the majority leader of the Democrats in the House, he is now formally set up a committee, a group to explore his run for the governorship, because Michigan Lieutenant Governor John Cherry this last Tuesday said he wasn't running. He is not going to run. And, you know, we interviewed him last year at homecoming when he came on a day when nobody else was at homecoming. So if you have an organization like that working for it was raining like solid.
Oh, my God.
And he called Mayor O'Reilly and said, I'm going to come to homecoming and talk to the people and, you know. The Raleigh said, there won't be anybody here.
Nothing
it's
but ducks.
Pouring down, you know.
Incredible.
Just like it was in Lansing. Oh, well, I'm going to be there anyway. So we got to interview him because there was nothing else happening. We were standing under our tent, and there was nobody else around. And he seems like a nice enough guy, and he's been in the legislature a long time and so on. But, I mean, if you have an organization like that, plus he's tied to the, you know, success, failures, however you see it, and mostly failures, I guess, for most people, of Governor Granholm. Just because the state is in trouble, you always blame the governor. I don't think she should be blamed totally. There's a lot of partisanship in the legislature. But anyway, Andy Dillon now, yes, he is officially exploring the run. And, of course, how does he get the nomination? Well, it's the Democratic Party convention sometime next summer, probably, or spring. I don't know when it's going to be official. And there's plenty of other people running. And one that we think is very interesting, Dennis and myself, is Lansing Mayor Virgil Bernero, maybe, B-E-R-N-E-R-O. He may run for Michigan governor, and Tim Skupik has an opinion in the Press and Guide from last Sunday. And so you can look that up, page 6A, because, in fact, it's the second editorial opinion he's talked about, Lansing Mayor Virgil Bernero. He seems to be an independent Democrat, and I hope we hear more about him. Just an interesting candidate in the running. There's, of course, wow, about six or seven Democrats, both in the legislature and elsewhere, that have announced they're interested too. What a horse race it's going to be, especially since John Cherry is not going to be there. But that's good. We'll have a lot of choices if we know who is who. But the bad news is, unless you're in the Democratic Party, you won't get the choice. It doesn't go to a primary.
All right.
Yeah. Democratic Party will decide. And they'll pick a party person. Whoopee! Party person. You know, somebody who follows the system is not going to rock the boat. So that's too bad. I think Michigan needs to have its boat rocked, and that's why we're making waves here.
Well, I was also going to ask if you think that the person chosen by the Democratic Party will be the one that gets the nod from Obama. You know, they were saying Cherry was asked to step out of the race.
By Obama?
No. Unofficially. Oh, unofficially. Well. Like, yeah. You know, that he didn't have...
I could have told him that.
I know.
You know, I mean, even just after meeting him, too. Nice guy. Not knowledgeable enough, I guess. But not sharp enough to be on the media. You know, if you don't have good TV commercials, and I think this is unfortunate, not charismatic for a soundbite, you're not going to win. Plus, he's tied to the old administration in the last 8 years. And so, no, get the heck out of the way, John. And he did. He did the right thing, I think. And maybe he's still going to serve in the legislature somehow. So maybe he'll still be lieutenant governor under the new person.
Oh, I'm sure there'll be
not
a healthy position for him somewhere.
Oh, yeah,
because he chose to step aside.
Yes, right. Yeah, maybe even federal, you're saying. That's the way the political system works, payoffs, you know. Implying.
Yes.
We imply, you infer.
Okay. You stated.
See how that works out. Okay. But moving on, just to say, and you should read that about Lansing Mayor Virgil Bernero. There's a couple of interesting Republicans. There's a Rick Snyder, who's an outsider businessman that's got his PR people working a fever and keeps sending us emails. I hope they're sending them to somebody else, too. The Wayne County Sheriff.
Oh, Bouchard.
Bouchard was interviewed today on Craig Folly's show.
Oakland County.
Oakland County, yeah. I'm sorry. Oakland County Sheriff, yep. And he seems rational for a Republican.
He knows how to run a race.
It was his first,
you know, he's a studied politician.
First official interview as somebody who's trying for the Republican. His first one. As I said, Snyder's been out there for a while, and there's a number of other Republicans interested, too. So it's going to be an interesting horse race, and we really need some, well, you call it change, you can call it reform. We need some significant reforms. Also approaching the, you know, in November 2010, that's when we get to vote, folks, on whether or not we want to allow our Constitution in Michigan to be reviewed and maybe changed and reformed, you know, major changes in taxing and other things. And I'd like to think that one of these governor candidates, or both of them, would be in favor of that. Obviously, it might still come out the same old stuff and nothing very new, but there's a chance to make some major changes and do some major reforms that the legislature has been unwilling to do for various political reasons. This could be the way to do it, even though it's still going to take 2 years to deliberate and then get back to the voters to vote it in. So we'll wait and see on that. Okay. I think it's great that the federal court system has forced Comcast. And how big is Comcast, folks? It's a survey. Media question here for my news team.
How big in terms of?
Well, they're the number one cable company in the whole United States of America.
That's what I was going to say.
And who did they just buy?
NBC.
NBC.
Yeah.
Yeah, they own NBC. NBC. No thanks to the Jay Leno show at 10 o'clock, which I just read today, is going to be moved back to 11:35.
Yeah.
For a half an hour.
Yeah, well,
gonna
I think half, that's
with
smart.
A half an hour stand-up?
Conan O'Brien.
And out of there. And then what does Conan do? He can't do a stand-up right after Jay Leno did a stand-up.
No. So well, he could.
Maybe he can sing and dance.
Let's hope.
Well, he can do his hair.
Oh, yeah. But you do that funny German commercial.
Jay Leno made a joke and said, well, NBC, I don't think they're going to, you know, kill my show because they only fire people from number one rated shows.
Right.
They do have a history.
But Comcast might.
Comcast, yeah. Well, yeah. Comcast was forced here to this settlement by the federal court system. God bless the federal courts and their agenda-setting policies.
That's a lot of money, too.
education public channels like in Dearborn, CDTV, our own cable channel for the city council meetings and these little shows that the mayor and the council people do. And it's all shameless publicity for their own office. They never say anything bad about themselves, of course. But nonetheless, it's nice to have those local, very local channels like WHFR, too. And we're beholden to no one. You know, we don't get any federal funds, any state funds. We just get a little bit of student activity fees, and then we raise the rest of the money ourselves. Thank you very much, loyal listeners. But the educational public channels will continue on analog system, that is, the lower numbers, until they can find a place to put them in the digital channels for those people that have gone all digital with digital-only converters, which gives you on-demand movies and things like that. There's no place, they say, for the PEG channels, which is the public, educational, and what's the G stand for? General?
Government.
Government. Mm-hmm. Yeah, government. Programming, whether it's one or two channels, and it depends on the community.
You know, we have like four.
But we don't want to lose them. Yeah, I think in Dearborn, we've got one for the high school, and right. or one for the K-12, maybe.
Right.
Henry Ford Community College has one on Comcast, but right. not on WOW, unfortunately.
Right, right.
Anyway, so good for the federal government and the cities. Dearborn and four others, or one of four, maybe, we had to sue in order to get to keep those channels, at least on the analog level. And, you know, the numbers are pretty far away. I just got a digital box that includes, I can still get analog channels from WOW, and I don't go down to the low numbers anymore. And there's some channels like Comedy Central, the John Daly Show, and some other things that are good programming there, but they're not in HD. That's the difference. It's HD. It's all digital, but it's mm-hmm. HD versus non-HD. And the HD channels, well, that's not CDTV. The city of government, right. The city of Dearborn is not there. And so if you're channel surfing only a little bit among the 200 to 250 or whatever where the HD channels are, you'll never get back down, you know, even by accident, to, I think, channel 11 where the CDTV is on WOW. So anyway, that was good to see that happened. Where else do we want to go? Oh, we don't have any time. 15 minutes. Anything else, folks, you wanted to say in 2010, our second show of the year, to sum up, to conclude?
No. No, I wanted to bring up that the Dearborn Libraries are offering all kinds of stuff that's going on. Wintercraft, story times, events for children. So there's a lot of different things going on. And there's stuff going on at the school, too. Isn't
yeah.
there, I mean?
Yeah, actually, HFCC is offering $2,000 music scholarship. Yeah. Take a look in the Heritage newspapers Wednesday, January 6th. Mentions this. Auditions are between 3 and 5 p.m. At the McKenzie Fine Arts Center here on campus, January 31st. And a couple other HFCC promotions events. And events
yep.
Worth checking out.
Absolutely. And a final plug here before we conclude this edition of the new WHFR Journal is for the HFCC Campus Connection. And Dennis is in charge of that. And it's going to the next episode, well, only once a month, but once it's on a regular basis, right?
It is.
Well,
Tuesday.
We can count on it.
We can.
The second Tuesday of each month from 1 to 2 p.m. and then archived on our website as one of the forum shows for that date, the mm-hmm. second Tuesday. It's HFCC Campus Connection, and that's going to be next Tuesday. Not
this coming
this
Tuesday.
Coming Tuesday. Yes. It's going to debut for the month of January.
For January. And it's exciting. It's so exciting I can't even tell you about it.
Well, because they keep updating it to the last second to keep it current. But there'll be more information about a big music concert coming up in the sure. month here on campus.
That's right.
That the music department is doing.
Big Band Motown Review, January 30th.
Yep.
All done by our own people.
We're talking mm-hmm. to the Ice Club here, the Ice Carving Club. We got a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be
yeah.
fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm interested to hear that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You're so
I love Ice Carving.